Thank God for the spirit that we've already felt. We're not going to tarry any longer. We're going to go ahead and turn the preacher loose and just get in tune with him, pray for him, get behind him, and he'll preach a message from on high, and we'll all get fed, and we can say we've been to church this morning. So just do, Brother Rick, just follow the Lord. Know you will. You always have, so I got no worries here. Come on, Brother Rick. I love you. Appreciate him. Everybody knows him.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Good to be here today. Glad to be able to feel the spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
And, I tell you, if you go to the house of the Lord and you can't feel the spirit, you just came in a building. But I'm glad for the spirit. The Bible says you must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And they can't be separated. Well, but their spirit is, there'll be truth. And where the truth is of the Lord, there'll be the Spirit. And I'm thankful for that today. Thank you, brother, little buddy. And, I might even take a sip of that. You pray for us this morning. It's good to be back at Riverside. We're a little frogged up with all this sinus and stuff and everything, but we're going to do our very best today to follow the Lord. I'll thank the Lord for everything He's done in my life, for my home, my family. I thank the Lord that there is a place. There is a land. There is a home. And but it's not a home that you can just get by going through a realtor. Not a home you can get by scoping out a piece of land. This land was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was made by the hand of God, not by any man. There's no shovel put to it. Only the finger of God, or however that He built it out. He probably just spoke it like He did the world. Just spoke into existence, said what he wanted. Here, there, everywhere. I don't know. I'm not even worried about how it was made. I just know it was made and who made it. And I know it was made for those that love Him, those that believe on Him. And I'm one of those. And I'm thankful for that today. Just like hell was not made for us, but it'll be our home if we never believe on Jesus Christ. Why in the world would Jesus suffer and go to the cross, suffer everything He did just so you could make it anyway? That's not the way it goes. Not the way it's going to be. You won't just make it out of your goodness. There's no none good, no not one, according to the Word of God. That doesn't mean you're not a nice person. Doesn't mean you don't do good things. Doesn't mean you're not friendly. But the prerequisite for being saved is the blood of Christ. And so the blood was shed, and it wasn't shed in vain. It was shed that we might believe, that we might trust in Him. Imagine that today, if for some reason you were able to create something, but when you created it, it never did anything that you wanted it to do. It never really served the purpose that you wanted it to serve. Listen to that. We would probably scrap it, wouldn't we? And believe me, the Lord thought about that too. Remember, he ruled that even made man. But thank God there was Jesus. I believe Jesus was there to say, but remember the plan, Father. Remember the plan. Sometimes we got to stick to the plan, don't we? So I'm glad that I have a plan that I can stick to, that I can count on, and that if I'll follow it, I know that good things will be in the end, the reward will be at the end of the plan. Go to Exodus chapter 17, and it was kind of, it wasn't really odd, but I was glad to hear what I heard this morning, and it kind of went along with this, and what I'd kind of, I thought that might be on my heart this morning, but if you want to stand and as I read God's Word, you pray that I'll be able to get out what the Lord would have me to say and do what the Lord would have me to do this morning. In the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel, journeying from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in a Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle and with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They almost be ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, and wherewith thou smotest the river, take I'm sorry. Thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock of Oreb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall be water come out of the rock, come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And that's all that I want to read to you today. Thank God today for what I can feel down in my heart. And I pray for us that we can just get the anointing from God to be able to tell you what is on our heart and what come out of the scriptures today. I can do nothing in myself, but through the power of God, we can do all things through Christ. And so this people, I want you to know, they hadn't been out of Egypt hardly 2 months. That they were already murmuring. If you read over a little bit, not too long before that, they come to a place where the water was bitter. If you remember, they came to the place and the Lord told them to take a stick and throw it into the water and the waters would be healed. And so we know today that represents to me the healing, listen, of the cross today. That how that the waters, my bitter soul, my bitter heart, my sinful heart was made pure through the blood of the Lamb and by the cross, my friend. And then you go on a little bit in the chapter before that, you find out that they were all hungry and they began to murmur again. Boy, it seems like we hear that word a lot with the children of Israel. How they began to murmur and they began to complain. And they said, "You brought us out again. They brought us out here to die." Listen, the same people that were crying for all these years, generation after generation, saying, "Lord, get us out of Egypt. Lord, get us out of this place. Lord, that we don't want them to be rulers over us." Listen, and as soon as God got them out of what long before they began murmuring again, the same God they depended on to get them out of Egypt is the same God that was leading them along the way. But listen, but they just kept on worrying about themselves and worrying about how they were to be. And it's all right to ask for water. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong to say, "Lord, I'm hungry. I need something to eat." But it was the way that they were asking. It was the way that they were going about it today. Because they were murmuring about it and not just asking as a child would come up and say, "Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat?" It was more like, "Daddy, you better give me something to eat. You expect you going to leave me out here to die?" Think about that today. Boy, I tell you, if a child, I don't know about you, I'll just tell you, if my child come to me demanding food like that and demanding, I'd probably say, "Go sit in the corner. When I'm ready, I'll feed you." Today, I'll never let them starve. But I tell you, I wouldn't want my child speaking to me that way. That may be old fashioned. But I'm listening today. God, I left my friend. He's the Creator. He's my Father. I have no reason to speak to Him that way. I have no reason not to let Him have His way. He's the authority today. And He was the authority that brought Him out of Egypt. And He's the authority that brought Him to this land. He was leading them where He wanted them to go. It may not have been exactly where they wanted to go. It may not have been exactly the place where they thought they wanted to be. But the reason they were there in the first place is they didn't trust God fully with all their heart. Listen, so He brought them out of Egypt and He brought them into this land, and God sent them manna, as you know, and a manna meaning what is it? But listen, and God showed them what He wanted them to have. He gave them the bread, and I'm going to get into all that. I was showing them that bread in the wilderness, but thank God later He said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." He said, "But I give you bread. Bless the Lord. I'm going to make you alive and give you life eternal if you'll eat of me." But now they thirst and they come to this land. They had just left a little place called Elim, I believe is the name of it. About any Elim, the Bible says, I'm trying to remember exactly how many, but there was at least 12 wells there in Elim, and I believe about 70 palm trees. That sounds like a little oasis, don't it? Out in the desert land. So God had give them a place that was well watered. He gave them a place for shade. Oh, but listen, I'll tell you what else he did. He gave them a fire by night and a cloud by day. Oh, but listen, he was going to take care of either way, but he allowed them to have this little oasis. But then God said, we got to move. And he brought them out into the wilderness of sin. Now, as far as I know, it's not named, listen, for sin as far as this, but it sure seems to have a little place, don't it? Listen, let me give you a little update first. Listen, now you may disagree with me, but that's okay too. We can disagree. But I believe when they brought them out of Egypt, a lot of people say, well, when they brought them out of Egypt, they were saved. No, no, no. And here's why I say that. To me, listen, when I got saved, when he brought them over into the promised land, they still had battles to fight. There were still problems along the way. When I get to heaven, I ain't got no more battles to fight. When I get to heaven, I don't have no more struggling. When I get to heaven, I don't have no more enemies coming at me. But listen, this is what I feel like. I feel like when they brought them out of Egypt, God kind of put them under conviction. I kind of showed them that there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And he sent them the law. But the law was not enough, my friend. The law, they couldn't even keep one or two of the law. How can they keep all the law? They couldn't, because by nature we're sinful. And today you may say, I don't know why everybody says, I need to be saved. I'm a good person. Oh, I've heard that so many times. There's not enough goodness within us to save us. Our righteousness is those filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. But it takes something supernatural. It takes something, pure and undefiled. It takes the blood of Christ. And so, as they brought them into the wilderness of sin, I'll try to move along. As they brought them out here into the place called Rephidim. Rephidim was a lamb in the wilderness of sin, near Sinai. Sinai means the dry place. And so the Lord had brought them out this oasis place, out into this dry place. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell the Lord, I will let you know, without him, you're not going to make it. And when I got lost, when the Lord started showing me that I wasn't going to make it on my own, he put me in some dry places. He put me in a place where I felt thirsty. Oh, listen, the Bible says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Listen, my friend, ain't you glad that one day God put a hunger and a thirst in you? And listen, and then he showed you where you could get it filled at. Well, it wouldn't do me no good to be hungry and to be thirsty and then never to have a place to go to get care of that hunger and that thirst. Thank God Jesus gave me a place to come and take care of that hunger and thirst. And so that's where I'm at today. I believe as they were wandering along the wilderness trying to get to that promised land, but God had to show them they were lost first. God had to show them why he didn't just give them the promised land. This, and my friend, and they couldn't earn their way in, but they had to do this. They had to trust their way in. They had to believe their way in. They had to believe it wasn't just because they hollered at the Lord. He said, okay, son. It had to be because I am the way, the truth, and the life. That this is the way. This is why I'll send my son. And he was also showing them what was going to happen later on and how they were going to get there. How the law was going to turn into grace. Ain't you glad for grace today? So the Bible says, wherefore, the people, oh my friend, listen, as they, in the word he said there was no water. He said, wherefore the people did chide, they contended, they argued with Moses, said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide with me? And why do you tempt me? So they began to say, give me water. I go back to another time, Brother Jerry, where Jesus was sitting on a well. And as Jesus sat there, a little Samaritan woman began to walk up. And this, and she was by herself. Now, normally, you would see a bunch of women coming at a certain time of the day. But the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan women. So she was probably an outcast. And she was probably had to go by herself out to get to water. Oh, but she wasn't by herself. Thank God when I was an outcast. And thank God when I was thirsty, I came to a well. And Jesus was there at the well. And she came to the well. And she began
And he said, draw me a little water. And she said, the well is deep, and you have nothing to draw with. And he said, listen, little lady. He didn't say it that way, but that's my term. He said, listen, lady. He said, if you'd have asked of me, I would have given you living water, and you'd never thirst again. Oh, he was going to show a little outcast that she could have something real. He was going to show a little outcast you don't have to thirst anymore. Listen. And so she said, give me of this water. Similar to what they did. They said, give us of this water. She said, give me listen, of this water. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm glad for the living waters. And Jesus said, I would have given you living waters. Listen, my friend. And listen, I'm so thankful though. Before he gave her the water, he said, ask thy husband to come. He said, go get thy husband. Listen. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're correct, but you have five husbands. And the one you're with now, he's not your husband. Listen, she was an adulterer, and she had done many things in her past. But Jesus, I wasn't just going to turn her away. He still wanted her to have the water. He wanted her to drink out of the well and have something eternal and get a thirst. I'm glad I got a drink, and I've never had to go drink again. Because it wells of water flowing up and down within my soul, springing up eternal. Oh, listen, have you ever, seen a place? Listen, there's these little oases in the middle of the desert. How do they do it? I don't know. But God made a way. I'm glad God made a way. And they put that living water in me, and it just keeps springing up eternal. Ain't you glad today? Ain't you glad you can feel that water when things get low? Ain't you glad you can still feel it bubbling down inside? How when the world's coming against you, when troubles are in. I've heard prayer requests today. Oh, but listen, my friend, hang in there. There's a well down within. There's some water down there. It's springing up. Let it flow. Let it spring. Let it come up and give you. Oh, I think about the one that came, and he'd been at the well for 38 years, at the spring for 38 years, and finally every time he tried, I'd crawl down in the water. I could probably just see him scooting along trying to get down in the water, and every time somebody would beat him down in there, and he'd have to scoot back and get back to his seat and wait for the troubling of the water. Oh, but listen, my friend, one day a man named Jesus come by, and as they just scoot, as he was scooped down to the water, oh, he said, what do you need, man? He said, every time I try to get in, I'm listening, somebody beats me to it. And Jesus told him, but if you believe in me, listen, my friend, he said, listen, try one more time. Oh, listen, man, get in the water. And when Jesus touched him, oh, he got up, out, and he could walk. And if he could tell, because Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the healer. He is the savior. And I'm going to tell you something today. He's the one you need to get to heaven. Oh, let me go along. I'm going to run out of voice. My buddy told him, they said, you brought us out here to die. No, no, he brought them out that they might live. But their unbelief was going to kill them. But their unbelief was going to, what's going to make them die. And that's what he was trying to show and prove to them. And so in the fourth verse, and Moses cried unto the Lord. Oh, ain't you glad you can seek God in these times? Ain't you glad you can talk to God? Oh, listen, how am I going to get these people to believe? How am I going to get them to see? Oh, I better seek God and see what he wants. The people will be chided. Sometimes church members are like that. They begin to chide, and they begin to murmur, and they begin to complain. Oh, church, I know you're without a pastor right now, but don't murmur. And don't. I'm just throwing this in for good measure. You can not invite me back tonight if you want to, but you don't complain and don't murmur. The people you put in charge of it, put some trust and faith in them. And the people that's in charge, put your trust and faith in God. Wait on the Lord. If I heard the Lord say the scripture today, wait on the Lord patiently, and the Lord will send you what you need. And so I listen today. Let's not be murmuring and chiding. Let's be praising and adoring. Let's stand on the word. And when we need to speak up for Jesus, speak up. And listen, when we need to stand, stand. Oh, listen. But they weren't standing. They were chiding and they were murmuring. And they said, you let us all out here to die. And listen, and Moses said, hey, these people are about to stone me, Lord. What can I do? But God, I'm glad he always has a way of escape. He always has the answer. He said, Moses, don't worry. He says, behold, I go before thee. Boy, ain't it good when Jesus goes before you. I like that old song. I'm following the one that knows the way. He said, he made the way before me, and my Lord makes no mistakes. I'm following the one that knows the way. He knew the way. I'm glad Moses knew the way. He knew Jesus. Listen, my friend. You can say, wait, that's before Jesus. I'm not. Listen, my friend. It was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed in God. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus. You believe in the Holy Ghost. You say, wait a minute. You said a Baptist and you said Holy Ghost. Yes, that's what I said. I'm not believing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I believe that they all are one. Oh, listen, my friend. Let me move along. And so they came and Moses talked to God. He said, behold, I will go before you. And he said, and there I said, and stand before thee upon the rock that is in Horeb. Oh, ain't you glad? Listen, my friend, when you stand on the rock, things will do well. You'll do well in your life. Listen, my friend, and let me carry along. He said, and stand on the rock, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. Oh, let me just tell you this today. One day, their rock was smitten. One day, listen, go over to Isaiah in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Y'all know what I'm going to say already. But in Isaiah, he said, from the third verse of the 53rd chapter, he said, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him as he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet he did esteem him stricken, a smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, one day on the rock, Jesus Christ had to go up on a little cross. He had to suffer. He had to be spat upon. The history even says they plucked his beard out. Listen, when he asked for water, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall. I'm afraid, my friend, he was nobody has been more despised. Listen, when they whipped him, they didn't just have a belt. They didn't just have a strap. They had a cat of nine tails with little claws. And everything on that thing was to tear the flesh. And my friend, I don't mean to get that graphic, but it got down to the bone. Listen, indeed, I believe he probably didn't have a lick of flesh hardly left on his back. Oh, but I'll tell you what he did have. He had the love of God in his heart. He had me and you on his mind, and he bore every stripe, and he bore every lick, and the rock went to the cross, and the rock bled. Oh, but listen, what else happened? The rock one day, as he was on the cross, they went to break their legs, because the next day was the Sabbath day, and the law says they can't hang on the Sabbath day. So they went to the thief on this side, and they broke his legs, and they went to the thief on that side, and they broke his legs, and they came to Jesus, and he had already died. But the old soldier took his spear and he pierced him in the side. Bless the Lord. It said forthwith came out blood and water. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm glad water did come out of the rock, and that water was for our redemption. That water was that living water that we could have and never thirst again. Thank God that the rock, I hate I hate that he had to be beaten. I hate that he had to suffer. But I love that he did it for me. I love that he did it so I can be free. Come get a song. Let's have an invitation. I'm glad the rock. Listen, my friend. The rock was what we need today. The rock. This time he told Moses to smite it. That rock had to be smitten. I don't know. You can go on later and you can find out that he could have done it a different way the next time. But we won't get into all that. But I want you to know that rock was smitten for you. That rock was smitten for me. And us, my friend, they were brought out of Egypt, but they were still lost. But there were some that were believing along the way. And listen, the Bible says all 20 years and up, they never even got to make it to Canaan land. Am I right? Ain't that what the Bible says? Those that are 20 years and up, he said they can't take them in. They disobeyed. They didn't believe. They didn't trust me fully. Oh, every time I did something for them, they would complain and murmur. And remember one time he said, these 10 times, they have provoked me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, my friend, don't turn away the Lord. Don't provoke the Lord. Just come and believe. Come and believe. Because there was a time, let me just tell you this. And then finally, after the 40 years, they came to the River Jordan. Moses had already, he only got to look over. Why? Because Moses was the law. And the law couldn't get over. It wasn't enough. But Joshua represented grace. His name even means Jesus saves. And so Joshua brought him to the river. The Lord said, get him ready, Joshua. We're about to make a trip across that old flooded river. And he said, in 3 days, we're going to cross. Thank God, in 3 days, only in the grave, Jesus came out. And because of that resurrection, I don't have to have part in the second resurrection as far as dying and going to hell. But I can have part in being raised up and Jesus saved. Ain't you glad of that today? Stand, church. Listen. Listen. Jesus is that rock. What did he tell him? He told Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You'll not prevail against that rock if you don't believe and stand on that rock. Is there somebody here today, lost and undone? Oh, listen, you better come and get the water out of the rock. In the midst of your desert, in the midst of the land where you think there's no water, no way to quench that thirst, Jesus is the thirst quencher today. He's the way. Would you come? Come and believe on him while you can. Don't be like those that got to the river, got right to the place where it was time to cross, and they had to hear you're not coming. What did Jesus say in one place? He said there'll be some that come that never got saved. Some that'll come that never had the oil in their lamp. Some that'll come that never had the blood applied. Call them the goats. He said they'll hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, which is sin. I never knew you. They thought they knew him. They thought they knew him. But they didn't know him from their soul. They didn't know him from their heart. But with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made, right? Would you come? Would you come? Don't be provoked by the devil to stay where you're at. I'll even say, if you're here and you're a Christian, maybe them waters ain't streaming up like they used to. Maybe not allowing the gift of God to take you through what you're going through. Oh, trust in him. Trust in him. You know when he told him to take that rod in his hand? He said, take that rod that smote the river. In other words, he said, take the rod that's already been proven. Take the rod that's already proven my power, already proven my authority. take the authority and the power of God with you and go to the rock. I'm glad that we can take the power of God with us and we can go to the rock and we can cry out to the rock. Oh, listen, my friend. Oh, we need to cry out to the rock. Not let, as they said, let the rocks cry out for us. But maybe someone here today needs to cry out to the rock. I get that water. I rekindle. It's there. It's got a little stagnant. It's there. Oh, my friend, stagnant water ain't no good for nothing. Oh, but boy, once the wind starts stirring it, oh, that's when the Spirit begins to stir that water, and then it begins to flow, and then it begins to spring. Oh, listen, my friend, then you can get some great refreshment from it. You can get the power you need from it, and it'll be what makes you so refreshed. Come on, let's sing this last verse. Just like you are. Jesus didn't tell you to change first. He said, come and I'll do that. Just come unto me and I'll give you rest. Come unto me and I'll save you. Let the blood do it. That's why I said it. That's why the rock was smitten. That's why the rock had to be smote. I'm going to tell you something today. Even if you die and go to hell and not believe, what Jesus did at the cross is still true. Even if you don't believe it, the blood is still for the salvation of the people today. He still wants you to believe in Him and be saved. He still wants you to be a child of God. Oh, and then when you become a child of God, He wants you to just keep trusting Him.
Amen.
Keep believing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't see how a believer can not believe. I don't see how a person that says, I trust God, can trust anything else. But I do know this. And I'll say this and get out of the way. There is an old deceiver going about. His name is Satan. The devil, whatever you want to call him. Beelzebub. But he's around. But listen, my friend. He can't get that soul. But He'll work on that mind. And He'll work on your weak spots.
Yeah.
Bible says He's like a roaring lion. Listen, I know my wife hates me watching these things, but I watch these National Geographics, you know, and watching how the lions and the tigers and different things. Listen, they don't usually go after the biggest, boldest, strongest one. A lot of times they don't even go right away. They sit and watch. And you watch the herd go by. They're like, nope, nope. Maybe, but and then they find the one that's limping,
yeah,
or that's old, or that's lagging behind the rest of them. Let me tell you, church, you better keep up with God.
Yeah.
You better keep up with the Word.
Amen.
You lag behind, old Satan will pounce.
That's right.
You get weak, old Satan will pounce. And that's who they're going to go after. Because they know that big, strong bull or the big, strong bull water buffalo, unless he's pinned away from the herd. You know what, really? When they all band together, I've seen them, and they all band together, and they get them horns, and then we get a hold of the horns of the altar.
Yes, sir.
And we band together, and
yes,
we look old Satan in the
yes,
eye.
Sir.
You know what the little lions do then? They start going, no, 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 no. Hey, but when you're weak, let Jesus make you strong. Trust in Him, because that's where Satan's going to pounce on you. But if you're here and you don't know the Lord, He's already got you. You say, He ain't bothering me. No, He don't need to. He don't need to because He's got you right where He wants you now. But Jesus wants you more.
Amen.
I don't see Satan going to any cross. I don't see Satan being tormented like that. No, He wants to torment you.
That's right. Exactly right.
And what better way than make you die and go to hell where He can laugh at your calamity, where He can see you suffer forever. But Jesus wants you to live forever.
Thank God for the message this morning. It was an encouragement to me, and hopefully it was an encouragement to you. Hopefully it caused you to see where you stand and move up. And I appreciate Brother Rick and everything he's done here today. Appreciate his wife, Sister Diane. For being here, love him, appreciate him. But I'll tell you this much, you know, And you can't add to that message. That was wonderful. But if I could say one thing, I would say that you'll never understand what it's like. You'll never understand the peace and the love and the joy that you could have as a possibility until you get Him in your heart.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. So I hope and pray that, I know God will do His part. He'll stick with you all day long. But I hope you listen to what He says to you. If you're here and you're lost and He's rolling in your mind and reeling in your mind, I hope you listen to what He's got to say.
Amen.
Because it's never a truer word.
Can I say this too?
Yes.
In that seventh verse,